It's such a joy to be back today and enjoyed the preaching immensely. It's just been wonderfully blessed, and trust that God would continue to be with us in our time before you. We have such a loving Heavenly Father, one that will never leave us nor forsake us. If we could really grasp how much we are loved today, and like has been said already, it almost sounds as if we are being irreverent. In fact, I remember the first time I heard a preacher talk about us calling our Father Papa, our Dad. I thought it was irreverent. God is holy. He is the sovereign God of the universe, but He is our Father, and He will never leave us nor forsake us. We can be confident in Christ. I'd like to read from the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 were the longest period of time that Christ spoke in His ministry. And most of this took place the hour before He was arrested, or the day before He was arrested and He was crucified. And it's very important that you remember that when you know that these are some of the last words of Christ before His crucifixion. He is going to go through some of His darkest hours. In fact, it is the darkest hour. And what is so apparent, though Christ is going through His darkest hour, He reminds us He will be with us in our darkest hour. We'd like to read in particular from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Jesus is speaking primarily to the apostles, and He says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He is speaking to His apostles that He is going away. Last words are always difficult. I remember when our oldest child began kindergarten, my wife was taking her to school, and you know, it sounds a little bit childish, but if you have children, you understand this, that you knew for the first time they would be away from the home, and Anne was trying to tell Emily, said, "Emily, we're going to be away, we'll be at home, but there's always someone looking after you. Do you know who that is?" And Anne was about to cry. Emily was about to cry. And she said, she pointed up. Well, that's the truth. And see, it's important for us as parents to teach our children, even though we can't always be with our children, our Heavenly Father is. In fact, in the book of Psalms, chapter 102, He says, "When father and mother forsake us, the Lord will take us up." Today, it's so important to recognize that when Jesus was speaking these words, He was speaking words that He was going to go away, but He was not going to leave His children as orphans. In fact, if you look in the center reference column, it will even mentioned that at one point, that we are not fatherless. We are not as orphans. Jesus was going to prepare a place. Notice the language. He talks about in verse 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now, he reminds them again of that in this same chapter in verse 27. He says to them, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He tells his disciples that they're going to suffer trouble, that there are going to be difficulties and problems. Sometimes people act as if you are a Christian, then your life will be exempt from trouble, disappointments, heartache. But see, the Savior is very clear, not only in this passage, but throughout the Bible. He tells us that in this world, we are going to face trouble. Notice with me in John chapter 16 and verse 33. The same point is being emphasized. Jesus says to his disciples, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, Jesus is speaking to his apostles. He is trying to strengthen them. He is trying to prepare them, and certainly not only them, but this is for us today. Jesus is about to go to the cross. Just remember the relationship that existed between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This morning there is but one God, and yet three persons in the Godhead. There are not three gods. It's one God, and yet three persons. Each person is co-equal, co-eternal, and co-essential. But my friends, just remember the love relationship that existed from all eternity between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Son had never one time disagreed with the Father. There was a perfect relationship, a perfect love from all eternity. You may say this morning, if I could just feel that I was loved like that, then I could face life, I could face trouble. Well, notice with me in the book of John chapter 17, this same series of messages, or this what Christ spoke before his crucifixion. Notice with me in John chapter 17 and verse 23. He says, "I in them." Now these are the words of the Savior in the high priestly prayer. He says, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." He is speaking to the Father, and he says that the world may know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, if we can find out how he loved the Son, we can find out this morning how he loves us. He didn't leave us in the dark. He says in the next verse, he says, "Oh, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me from before the foundation of the world." Now, listen, my friends, this morning, it's not that God just says, "I love my people, I love my family." My friends, he knows you by name this morning. It's not that you are forgotten by him. And he went to the cross as if he had only you to die for. My friends, this morning, we have a personal Savior. He is our Father. And that's why when he is speaking to his apostles, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Then he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." He's speaking about glory. He's speaking about heaven. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." And my friends, he was speaking about what he was going to endure in the hours when he was going to be arrested. He would go through the mockeries of those trials. He would be taken. He would be condemned as a criminal. He would be scourged. His visage was more marred than any man. He was not even recognized as a man. They put the crown of thorns upon his brow. They mocked him as a king. They mocked him as a prophet. They mocked him as a priest. They even mocked him as a savior. They said, "If you be the savior, come down from the cross. You saved others, save thyself." Have you ever noticed all that he endured? He never complained. He never said, when they nail the spikes in his hands and his feet, he never said, "My hands, my hands. My feet, my feet." When Pilate scourged him, he never said, "My back, my back." He never said one time when they put the crown of thorn upon his brow, "My head, my head." He endured physical pain and never minimized the suffering that he endured. But my friends, at the noon hour, when the sun would be at its zenith, the sun refused to shine. The earth was darkened. All through the time in the New Testament, he would cry out, "My Father, my Father, my Father." The only time he ever cried out in a sense of agony or pain was when he was hanging on the cross and he cried out, not "My Father, my Father," but he cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" For the first time, the Son was forsaken by the Father. Earth had turned its back on the Savior. Even his own disciples had fled. Earth had forsaken him, and now heaven forsakes him. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" My friends, he was forsaken in those hours that we will never be forsaken. Heaven is a place. It's home. I believe heaven's going to be a beautiful place, and I don't minimize the beauty. All things that are broken today will be made new. But what's going to make heaven heaven is Jesus. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go," listen carefully, I will come again, that where I am, ye shall be also. Over the last few weeks, it's not just been older people. I've had middle-aged people to stop by the office, people just in our community. And one man said the other day, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I'm ready for the Lord to come back." He said, "There's so much trouble, heartache. This world is so broken." He said, "Aren't you thankful that that promise is given? The same one that came to this earth, he's coming back. The promise is, in this world, while we live, he's with us." Now, in this same chapter, chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus said, "I must go away." He said, "If I do not go away, the Holy Comforter will not come." My friends, there's a ministry of the Spirit that did not take place until after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Spirit today is real. And notice, if you read this chapter, I don't have time to read it, but the Holy Spirit is not an it. Sometimes we talk about the Holy Spirit, or you hear it referred to as an it. But if you'll notice carefully, like in John chapter 14, he says in verse 16, "I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." The Holy Spirit is referred to as an he. The work of the Spirit is to shine the floodlight on what Christ has done. And my friends, today, the Spirit is with us in this life. This world is a world of trouble. I love trying to help people, but I want to tell you today, I don't have all the answers. I have to say, Lord, I know that you're in charge and that you can bless through the Holy Spirit. Now, listen carefully. I'm not an old preacher. I'm still a young preacher, but I'm not as young as I used to be. A few years ago, when I was a real young preacher, I had all the answers. And if you wanted to know how, you ought to have asked me before I ever married how to be a good husband. And before I ever had a child, I could have told you just how to rear children perfectly. And when I was first ordained, I thought I had all the answers, and really, I thought I was going to change the world. I thought in my ministry, I was going to live long enough. I was going to change the world. I was going to change the church. I could change my wife. And, you know, I've learned now that I can't change the world. I can't change the Primitive Baptist. I can't change myself. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. And see, he's the one that we lean on. But see, many, many times in this life, there are many times of life that we don't understand. You think about the life of Job. Job had lost everything. He had lost his possessions. He had lost his wealth. He had lost his holdings. He had lost his children. I can't imagine losing one child, but losing 10. And yet Job said in Job chapter 1, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then in chapter 2 of Job, he loses his health. And then his wife says, "Why don't you curse God and die?" They think about the condition that Job was in. I mean, he was down at the bottom, and then he had three friends to travel a long distance, and they come and they sit down and they just stare at him for 7 days. Can you imagine that? Just staring at him? Talk about a friend. But it gets worse than that. They were better friends when they didn't say anything than when they opened their mouths. And then they begin to try to blame him. And they thought they had all the answers. I read a book recently. The title of the book is A View from the Hearse. This man, Joseph Bailey, wrote the book. He and his wife lost three children in death. He said after one of his sons had died, he said, I was sitting torn by grief, and someone came and talked with me of God's dealings, of why it had happened, of hope beyond the grave. He talked constantly. He said things that I knew were true. I was unmoved, except to wish he'd go away. He finally did. Another came and sat beside me. He didn't talk. He didn't ask leading questions. He just sat beside me for an hour or more. He listened when I said something, answered briefly, and simply prayed and left. I was moved. I was comforted. I hated to see him go. Sensitivity in the presence of grief should usually make us more silent, more listening. My friends, I know many times as a pastor, I've wanted to be able to say the right thing. But even before I read this book, I've learned that what most people that are grieving need is just the presence of an understanding friend. Last year I preached and attended more funerals of young people than I've ever in my entire life. I know that many of you and y'all were such a blessing to Brother Zachary through that whole ordeal and his time here in Atlanta at Piedmont, and he was such a blessing to everyone that ever knew him. But you know, it's one thing to know theology and to be able to quote the verses, but it's another thing to know the Savior. And most of us, we don't learn that at the seaside or up in the mountains on vacation. It's not when you get a raise at work. It's not when you get promoted that you can say, I really have experienced the Savior. I think everybody here today, it's been probably in the lowest points of your life. In fact, Job said at the conclusion of all that he endured, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye had seen thee. When I got the call of Brother Zach's last week of life, of course I didn't know it was his last week, but I was called on a Monday. That, in fact, he told me, he had texted me on Saturday, and he said, Brother Kenneth, and let me just back up and say, Brother Zach lived, his motto was to God be the glory. Those last weeks, in fact, the last 3 years, he told me, he said, you know, I don't understand it, but in 2013, I just had such a burden to study about praise and thanksgiving. He said, I had no idea that God was preparing me. For the next 3 years. my life. He spent an entire year. That's all he wanted to study. He went to the doctor just thinking he had a sinus infection. He came back with a heart infection. And one thing after another, and even the heart transplant. He was always so upbeat. And finally, I told him one day, I said, Brother Zach, I just want to tell you, it's okay to, as a Christian, if we go times of discouragement. And he told me over and over. And see, I've learned in my ministry, I used to think as a pastor, I always had to present I had it together. My friends, we none have it together. We're all broken. I used to think that I could never, as a pastor, be transparent. And I told Zach one day, I said, Brother Zach, it's okay as a Christian to be transparent and to say, I'm having a bad day. So he texted me on Saturday, and he said to me, he said, Brother Kenneth, I'm down. Can you come? I said, I'll be right there. And I'll never forget it. We had time together, and I had no idea that it was just a matter of hours before he would code. But he said to me, I said, Brother Zach, I can't imagine what all you've been through. And I'm not going to say I understand and I know how you feel, because I don't. I said, but I know that God's with you. And I'll never forget it, because he said, God is real. My friends, we know that. But let me tell you, when you experience that, when you go through those times, and when you're coming down to the end of life, as we all will one day, but what a blessing to know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Think about the trouble and the difficulties in this world. Yes, life is hard. Life is difficult. But I'm telling you about one that will never leave you nor forsake you. Did this message that Jesus gave to his disciples strengthen them? It did. Did you know that every one of the apostles, maybe with the exception of John, were martyred? Every one of them. The apostle Paul was beheaded by Nero. The apostle Paul, when he was in prison, can you imagine being in a cold, dark, damp prison? He says, right before his death, Paul says, he says, everybody's forsaken me except Luke and John Mark. He tells Luke, send my coat, he's cold, and bring me the parchments. He wanted to continue to write and to read. And then he talks about Alexander the coppersmith. Now, today, you know, I want everybody to like me, but not everybody does. You know, in fact, the Bible says, woe unto thee when all men speak well of you. But, you know, I hate to have somebody not like me, but I have enemies. Paul had enemies. There was a man by Alexander the coppersmith. And, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, my inclination is if somebody does something to me, I'm going to get even. Anybody here like that? I'm going to have the last word. I've had sometimes people, you know, maybe send you an email and, you know, they sort of clean your plow out. And other day I drafted one back. I said, I'm going to have the last word. I'm going to prove I'm right. But I didn't send it. In my heart, I did. Paul had enemies. But you know what Paul said? Let the Lord take care of him. And I want to tell you that that's a good principle to follow. In fact, Paul said that we're to let God take vengeance. Paul was that way. But Paul, he says in that chapter, was forsaken by everyone, by everybody. But notice, he said, the Lord stood with me. The Lord was with me. The Lord stood with me through it all. My friends, this morning, what a blessing to know that we have such a heavenly Father. I've held the hands of many people that were coming down to the end of life. And there's never a time that you feel any more helpless. Heaven is real, and to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. You know, I know that everybody here today, you believe that. I would think you do. But you know, a lot of people in the world, they don't have that understanding. A couple of years ago, our local mortician, he called me and he said, there used to be a church in the northern part of the particular county, about 40 miles from us, that was a primitive Baptist church, but, they're no longer meeting, but this lady up in, I think it was North Carolina, she had passed away, and her son, really, he was not a church goer, but he wanted her to have a primitive Baptist funeral, and he said, would you do it? And I said, well, I'll be glad to. So I'll never forget it. We met at the funeral home in the chapel, and there was no one there but the lady's son and his daughter and her husband. There were like, five, six people. And it was me. Well, I just got up and preached like the building was full. Just preached grace, preached Christ. This man was very, very intelligent. In fact, he was way up in IT at one of the firms in North Carolina, and he wasn't an atheist or agnostic. He was a believer, but there were so many things that, he just didn't have understanding of. And he told me how much he loved his mother, and I said, I know you did. And she had been in a nursing home, and she'd had dementia. And I tried to tell him, there's a better day. It's a better place. And then we go to the place of interment, and it was a cold winter day, and I said a few words there at the cemetery, and we were about to leave. And the man, he's probably in his 50s. He just began to just weep profusely. He said, I just can't imagine that I'm leaving my mother here. I put my arm on his shoulder. I said, brother, you haven't heard a thing that I've said. I said, your mother is not here. She is not here. He said, really? I said, to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. I said, she has in the presence of Jesus Christ right now, and one day the Savior is going to come again. He shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. He says, can I call you and talk to you? I said, anytime you want to. My friends, there's a lot of fake news in the world today. There's a lot of very fake news in the world today. But the gospel is not fake news. It's good news. It's the truth of the love that God the Father has for you. He'll be with you in life and even in death. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why not, David? For thou art with me. He's with you today, whatever you're facing, whatever problem you're enduring, young and old today, my friends, he's with you every step of the journey. I thank you for your real good attention, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.